Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be diving into the Moscow Mood, Doug Wilson World, bringing cringe to Christmas. And we're talking about them trying to rebrand Christmas as a Judeo-Christian holiday. And that is not the case. That is just not the case. And Christians should not use the term Judeo-Christian because the term denotes that Jews and Christians have shared values, which we do not. And there's a lot of data, especially voting data, that confirms the lack of shared values between Christians and modern Jews. Nonetheless, the term Judeo-Christian has persisted in evangelicalism, and Doug Wilson, the Pope of Moscow, Idaho, is promoting the term in regard to Christmas. So we're going to dive into this cringe, but first I want you to know, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. Also, check out the free newsletter, also linked in the description below. And check out Winning Not Winsome, 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare. And a quick story about the book. One of the last things I added to the book was a section on how Christians should not use the term Judeo-Christian. This is language we need to take out of our vocabulary because Christians should not share the achievements of Western civilization with Judaism and modern Judaism. We should not share the achievements of Western civilization. So that's part of the argument that I make, but the other one's the fairly obvious one about the shared values. So with that said, we're going to talk about this podcast that was published and promoted by Canon Press. It's called The Stories Are Soul Food Podcast, which comes across as a pop culture podcast. They talk a lot about pop culture. Nothing wrong with that. But then they want to talk about Christmas and how to make Christmas a Judeo-Christian. They want to make it a Judeo-Christian Christmas. And that's cringeworthy. And I got three montages that I want to share because this is a very inconsistent argument that they're trying to make. They are not consistently using terms. They are trying to redefine terms. And they're even trying to redefine terms within their own argument. So let's watch clip number one.
Christian Christmas.
A Judeo-Christian Christmas.
A Judeo-Christian Christmas. What does that mean? Let's talk about the phrase Judeo-Christian and what does it mean to you, Brian? In terms of, in the universe of discourse here, is narrative, story, in the world of story.
Well, do I use the straw man that people want it to mean, or do I use the actual meaning of Judeo-Christian?
Both, like you have a spectrum.
So the straw man is that there's a blend of modern Judaism and Christianity with shared values that we should accept and promote together
now
into the golden future that's coming to us.
Let's go ahead and say that that's not the origin of the phrase. That's not where it came from. That's not what it meant. But it could be used in a way that's like...
So the first ever usage of the term Judeo-Christian involves a missionary who was two Jews, and he used the term Judeo-Christian to refer to Jewish converts to Christianity. Now, since then, the term has taken on a new meaning about the shared values, which they call a straw man here. So if you were to plug in, you know, what does the term Judeo-Christian mean to an AI, it would tell you about the shared value, a presupposed shared values between Christianity and Judaism that, you know, is not real, but nonetheless, that is what an AI would tell you. So they are calling the standard definition of Judeo-Christian a straw man. Keep that in mind.
the way peoples of faith is used.
Yep.
Like we're going to have faith leaders get together.
Yeah. It's like Islamo-Judeo-Christian.
Yeah. Islamo-Judeo-Christian Baha'i.
Yeah. Kwanzaa.
So, yeah. So if we're talking about sisters, you're talking about parallel monotheistic religions.
Sure.
Then it's a stupid phrase.
Right.
It's just dumb.
If you are, as I saw someone claim, modifying the word Christianity to be more or to be better by adding Judaism to it, that's to me seems like the straw man that's being attacked right now. It's like, no.
I don't know anybody who does this. I mean, I could see, I'm basically, I've seen a fair amount of push against the phrase Judeo-Christian.
But you don't see very many people who use it to mean the syncretism.
No. I mean, I really haven't seen much of that. I'm not denying that it happens. And I think it happens in like times of peace and affluence.
Mm-hmm. So they're saying they don't see it happening. I can tell you, I've seen a lot of it happening. It happens in Christian Zionist circles. They do this all the time. Read Christian posts for weeks on end, or at least look at the headlines. They clearly believe this at Christian Post, just to name one outlet. But you can also go to Charisma Magazine, All Israel News, which is supposedly a Christian outlet. So there are so many Christian media sources that clearly believe in this idea of syncretism or adding Judeo onto Christianity to enhance Christianity's and, you know, attach it to Judaism, attach it to modern Judaism. So this clearly happens. The idea that they're trying to pretend that there's a straw man argument being made against, or that the people who oppose the term Judeo-Christian are going after a straw man, is just laughable. These people don't pay attention to, you know, Christian media, for instance, or politics, for instance. So they are living in a very insulated bubble in Moscow, Idaho, if this is what they think.
I know that Judeo-Christian has been used in different periods of time when portions of the Christian church are being tempted to become really anti-Semitic. And so Judeo-Christian was used there to remind them of the actual lineage of what they're part of.
Mm-hmm.
Then that I could see how that would, over time, you know, become a kind of a syncretistic, stupid thing.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, the bald guy is Nate Wilson. So that is Doug Wilson's son. And the other guy, I think his name is Brian. I could be wrong. He is a little bit less important in this. He's mostly just asking questions and very, I guess he has some cringe lines, but most of the cringe is going to come from Nate Wilson or Doug Wilson's son. And again, the only reason that this podcast is being made is because he is Doug Wilson's son. So, the only reason that they're getting as many views as they are is because they got Canon Press promoting this on their emails. So, if you're on the Canon Press email list, I've seen people screenshot this. They heavily promoted this because Doug Wilson wants to attack his audience. He wants to attack the people who like him. And it's just bad brand management from a business perspective, but also he's promoting bad theology, which is underpinning his work in the book Milk and Honey, or, you know, the Milk and Honey book that he wrote. So this is clip number two, where he redefines Jew and changes the definition back. So this is pretty fascinating to me. And he completely makes an argument and then undermines his own argument once the argument is taken to its logical conclusion. So there's a lot of talk about the woke right. And part of the thing about wokeness is that they change the definition of words. And this is what Nate Wilson is doing. He is changing the definition of words. He's not using words in their original or commonly understood meaning. He is trying to assign a meaning to a word and then draw conclusions from that.
Now, I think what people object to is the sentimental relationship between evangelicalism and evangelicals and the Jews as a race of people and Israel as a nation state.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't like that. And I think that that's a real thing, and I don't really have a problem with it.
The sentimentalism?
No.
Just being fond of.
Being fond of the Jews.
So especially
if you are thinking of them rightly, which most people wouldn't be, but if you're thinking of them rightly as an estranged older brother, that's how we should be thinking of them.
Yeah.
Grafted in.
So again, this is a montage, so it's clipped, but that part comes right after the previous part that I showed. And as you can see, the idea of the estranged older brother is not the correct view that we should have of modern Judaism or modern Jews in general. That's just not the correct view. And the reason why, you know, Jesus says, you know, I believe in John 8, you know, those who are, you know, those whose father is Abraham believe as Abraham, and you don't believe because your father is the devil. So that's what Jesus is saying in John 8. So you're either, you know, the people who believe are the children of Abraham. The people who reject are the children of Satan. And he called the Pharisees that. And I believe he did that at a Jewish holiday, the Feast of the Booths. So that is something to keep in mind. And that's sort of the definition that he's going to use until he doesn't.
But you are truly a child of Abraham. But you are truly a child of Abraham and a fulfillment of that promise. You just don't have to go through the rules of Torah in order to do it. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to keep kosher. You know, like that, yeah. That's not part of the door. The door is just faith in Christ. That's it, by grace, and that's all.
Yeah.
So we are part of the story of the Exodus. We are part of the story of Abraham in the desert, in his tents. We're part of the story that is the baby race. You know, all the weirdness, the bad fathering.
Leah and Rachel, yeah.
Yep, the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, like all that.
Onan, Tamar, et cetera, yep. You know, that.
Tamar, Perez, like all, yeah. Rahab, we're part
Onan
of
Onan didn't get to be part of the story.
Oh, he did, though. Point. No, Onan did get to be part of the story. Part of that story. And it.
I did cut it here because they go on like a 40-second tangent on Onan.
It comes through Judah. And we're part of the story of David. We're part of that story. And all the promises, the Passover to Easter, and all the echoes and all the artistic typology and everything else that's going on with foreshadowing, it's this Jewish story, meaning the children of Abraham. And then it's redefined what it means to be a child of Abraham. And Christ says, I can make children of Abraham from these stones. I don't care about the DNA. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care about that. I care about being truly children of Abraham by faith.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, spake the Jewish Messiah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about that bloodline. I want all the nations. I want all the people.
Yeah.
And they're going to all be grafted in to what? To this Jewish tree.
I mean, I think the next logical question is.
So keep in mind what he says here. And that is, you know, God doesn't care about your DNA, your lineage and stuff like that, which is going to contradict much of what he says later on.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated. Forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations, because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
How come we aren't still called Jews? And that transition from, you know, at Antioch, I think is the first time they started to be called Christians.
Yeah.
And then the transformation from the Old Testament Sabbath to our Sabbath Sunday, right? I guess that question I have for you is, how come we're not still called Jews?
Because...
Or is Christ has become...
I think there's two reasons. The two reasons are, one, the term Jew comes from Judah.
Okay.
Judah down through Judea.
Yeah.
Into Jew.
Okay, right.
Like, it comes there.
So it's a geographical term.
Yeah. It's a geographical term of a particular tribe, of a particular region, point of origin. But it also denotes all the law. It denotes the law of Moses. Mm-hmm. And we're not of Judah now. Like, we're not of Judea. We're not of the law of Moses in the same way.
The law has been fulfilled.
We are of Christ.
Right.
And so who is Christ? Well, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so it's not like we're disconnected from Judah.
Yeah.
We're not disconnected from Abraham. We're connected through Christ. So the connectivity is in Christ now, and it would make no sense at all to use any other designation than Christ.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Christ is the designation. Keeping the law of Moses no longer is.
Right. Like, in a sense, it's like trying to pretend you don't see the answer to the puzzle after being given the answer to the puzzle.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Nate Wilson redefines Jew to mean child of Abraham, to which he argues that all believers are grafted into being children of Abraham, just like the famous song, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. The problem is, when he's asked, why aren't Christians actually go by Jews, why aren't we called Jews then? He says, it's a geographical region. It denotes from the tribe of Judah, and it has a system of laws that we don't follow. So there's his reason for why Christians are not Jews, after redefining the word Jew to mean those who are children of Abraham, of which he says that Christians are grafted into. So he has a very inconsistent argument here. And once it's drawn to its logical conclusion, then he redirects his entire point. He undermines his entire point by going back to the root of the word Jew, which is correctly derived from Judah, the tribe, the most famous of the tribes of Israel. Now, that would reason to say that Abraham was not actually Jewish, because he is not a descendant of Judah. So there's a lot of problems that come from his arguments here, yet he wants to assign all of that to Judaism and to the Jewish lineage and heritage. So here's the thing. He uses an inconsistent definition and then draws from that, says, and then at the end talks about how we shouldn't be using any other descriptor other than Christ, then why are you using the term Judeo-Christian at all? If Judeo represents the law and the stuff and the cultural customs that we no longer follow as believers, what is even the point then? There isn't one. You just hate your audience and are trying to troll around. And you're bringing the cringe to Christmas in the process. So that part was really messed up by Nate Wilson, because he has no real argument. He just wants to talk.
So when you hear the word Judeo-Christian, that should be something that is a callback to the entire story.
I want it to be historical continuity. I want it to be a reference to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
You know, and there's this weird thing when people emphasize the West, it's like they want to say, nope, just the Two Towers matters. Mm-hmm. We only care from Rohan on. Mm-hmm. That's it. We care here. We start caring here when they're blonde. Yeah. As soon as they're blonde, we start to care.
Right.
Like, that's just nonsense. Yeah. Lord of the Rings, Judeo-Christian. I mean, it's the whole story. Yeah, it's the whole thing.
You also really have to put a ton of influence upon AD 70 and a complete, that reading of Romans 11. There's theological stuff you have to do to.
Well, it's not that hard when Paul just says the branches were cut out.
Yeah.
Like, they were cut out. They're dead now. They're thrown over there. But even though they're dead and over there, it still rubs people wrong, because they're still genetically tied to the main character. They're still part of the tribe of the main character.
So here he's previously argued that genetics does not matter to God. Now he is again arguing that genetics matters to God. And it matters to the whole of, scripture and the story of God's plan for humanity. And at the end of the day, that's not true. It's, there's the holy race, the race of the second Adam, of which Christ is the progenitor. So he's going to defend the term Judeo-Christian Christmas, but here he's just said that one group of people has special genetics, after, previously arguing that genetics and lineage do not matter and are subordinate to belief in Christ.
This particular people, the chosen people, out of whom came the salvation of the world, they're still part of that. And that is a thing that rubs others wrong, where it's like, no matter how hard you try, if you're Germanic, it's like, you guys were weirdos and you've been good engineers and you're these funny side characters. And you guys, don't worry, you get to be grafted in. You're part of the world that's saved. You're part of the world that is saved here, grafted into this olive tree. It still is like, but why aren't we the main show?
Yeah.
And it's like, because God makes some vessels for honor and some for dishonor, and he made some to carry this through thread through history, and gave them all the promises. and kept them and preserved them so that salvation for the entire world, including the Germanic peoples, would come through them. And he didn't do that with a different tribe. He picked this tribe, not that tribe. He could have picked any tribe, but he picked this one.
So again, this is someone who is making Jews the main characters of Scripture and not Christ. Christ is the main character of Scripture. He has main character status, not the Jews. This is a huge mistake that dispensationalists and other Zionists make. They, you know, they put the Jews on the pedestal of Scripture instead of Christ, which is actually what Jews do, actually. They take Christ out of Scripture and put themselves into Scripture. They believe themselves to be the Messiah and stuff like that. So they have a perverted view of Scripture, which is also shared by dispensationalists and other Christian Zionists. So with that said, he's reading a main character status and a straw man onto the people he disagrees with, in that he is arguing that people like me are demanding to be main character status in the Bible. I'm not. Christ is main character status. The church is the female lead. We are the female lead to this Christ action hero movie. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. But let's... And that's the church collectively. The universal church. The bride of Christ in Revelation. In the whole of Scripture, the people who are called the Jews are a small window of time. Versus how long the believers of Christ have been called Christians. So, something to keep in mind.
And this is the tribe that is part of that through story. So even the branches that are chopped off and thrown aside get resented for that status, for that status.
I do think you also have to kind of do a little bit of fancy reading of the Old Testament stories. You have to read Christianity back into Esther in order to read Esther. If you're doing this wrong, if you're like, hey, we want to cut. If we're only Christians, we're not Judeo-Christians. We got to go read Christianity back into the Old Testament, as opposed to reading Christ and the Messiah back into the Old Testament.
No, if you are a Christian, you read Christ, you see Christ in the Old Testament. You don't read him into it. You see him in the Old Testament. This is a straw man. And it is also an attack on the character of the people you are disagreeing with. Let's just be real about what they're doing here. They're accusing Christians of narcissism when it's really not the case. They just have a more balanced understanding of Scripture than the Judeo-Christians do.
Which is the point. And that feels like kind of a key distinction right there.
When I talk about a Judeo-Christian Christmas, it is talking about Handel's Messiah and the gorgeous prophecies in Isaiah. Mm-hmm. Like that's the part of the payoff. Christmas is paying off. Christianity is paying off these amazing promises, these amazing prophecies.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what he means when he says Judeo-Christian Christmas. So what was the thumbnail for this video that they published? It was, and it's also the thumbnail for this video, except I've edited it. They had a Christmas tree with a six-pointed star on top of that Christmas tree. That six-pointed star is often called the Star of David, but it is not actually the Star of David. David did not use a six-pointed star as any sort of heraldry for his Davidic throne. It was not associated with David whatsoever. It is a six-pointed star, which should tell you that it is occultic, that it is demonic. Six is the number of man. It is not something that any believer would come up with to symbolize their faith. And most archaeological evidence suggests that this postdates AD 70, that Jews embraced this symbol after AD 70. However, there are some biblical references to the Star of Rephaim, which I believe means Saturn, which is the sixth planet from the sun, by the way, which also has a hexagonal hurricane on its pole, I believe, and is what Rephaim represented. So really, the Star of David is the Star of Rephaim, which is occultic, and that is not a symbol that is compatible with Christianity. So I see a lot of Christians champion this occultic symbol, and it's wrong. It's wrong to do that. And they should be warned against doing that because it's not a biblical symbol. It is a pagan symbol. So with that said, he had a Christmas tree, Christianity, with a Star of Rephaim on top of it. And he's pretending that that is our heritage. It is not our heritage. That is a symbol of Talmudic Judaism. And even a somewhat contentious one throughout the history, but no longer contentious. I think they've had a consensus on that side on whether the symbol represents Judaism or not in the modern sense. And they've clearly determined that it does. So this symbol is not part of the Christian heritage that he claims the term Judeo-Christian is supposed to mean. And that is not what the term has ever really meant. In the American parlance, it clearly denotes a shared value system between Jews and Christians that does not actually exist. And again, it also, because here's the thing, the Old Testament is more Christian scripture than Jewish scripture. And especially Isaiah. You read Isaiah 53, who's going to claim that? It's going to be the Christians every single time. Every single time. So, with that said, that's all I got to, you know, talk about for today. I saw some cringe. I listened to this cringe like 3 times at least. And I had to share it with the class. So if you like this hard work that I had to do in embracing, or not embracing, but enduring the cringe, do also subscribe to the channel if you're new. That really helps out with those magical YouTube algorithms. My name is Ray, this is the Evangelical Dark Web. Have a blessed day, stay based, Christ is King, and we will catch you on the next one.